is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
It's a brand new week of the Cliffo. Did it sound like I was going to break into song?
It's a brand new week.
It's a brand new week for me.
It's a brand new week for me.
Anyway, it's a brand new week. And my microphone right now smelling very lemony fresh.
Thank God. Because.
Overdue, you think?
Maybe. Oof. We had our lovely scientist friend. I'll say friend. I don't think he considers us one. Dr. Jeff Warner.
No, I think we liked him more than he liked us.
Absolutely. I got those vibes. Oof. Because he came back with our results. And
yeah.
You can see why he's probably a bit hesitant.
We wanted to know once and for all, who is the filthiest member of the Cliffo and Bronte team? And let's just say we got an answer. Also, when did a minor medical injury become a major thing?
What lies did your parents tell you or did you tell your kids?
And bare minimum Mondays are now a thing.
Thank God it's official.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing it for years, but now it's real. It's all coming up, the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Bonjour, it's Pink. Enchanté, merci.
Pink in Paris with Kerry and Tommy.
Do you want to hear Sam?
Yes.
Scream gibberish again?
Yep.
Sam won Pink in Paris on Friday.
You're coming to Paris!
My workplace is going nuts! Guys are going to Paris!
That could be you this Friday.
I love that.
Just sounding like a mad woman at work.
One winner down, three to go. And to be just like Sam, you've got to get into the ticket window when that opens. But what you got to do is have the code word. So, today's code word, bonjour.
Oh, okay, bye.
It's hard to say in an Australian accent.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. B-O-N.
Bonjour, mate.
B-O-N.
It's hello and goodbye, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's hello and goodbye.
Oh, you're so cultured. I wouldn't know. I think you say bonsoir.
Bonjour. I think that is right.
Don't say that. It's bonjour.
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 Don't confuse.
Sorry.
Bonjour is the code word today. So when that ticket window opens after 9 or any time during the most busy workday, 13, 10, 60, just ring and say bonjour.
Bonjour. In the best Aussie accent that you can.
Bonjour.
No wonder the French hate us. So workplaces are really trying to combat a lot of the issues that I think have been reignited since they started doing everyone back at work after COVID, 5 days a week. There are still some issues that I think haven't been totally resolved.
Do you feel like a lot of workers as well just aren't ready to commit to coming back into the office? Like, I think it's probably more of a Sydney and Melbourne problem.
Definitely.
Queensland, we didn't have nearly as intense lockdowns.
But yes.
Rumour has it. Well, it's not rumour. Commonwealth Bank last week were pleading with their staff in Sydney and Melbourne.
Oh, I didn't see this. Go,
please start coming to work.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are doing, like, a few businesses in the country are trialling the 4-day work week and saying that they're getting really positive results from that.
Even Bunnings. I saw Bunnings is doing a 4-day work week.
It's up to the business's discretion. But now there's another business that's trying something different that I'm on board with. I think other businesses will be as well because it's not a 4-day work week. So in their mind, they're not, you know, losing staff for a day. It's called Bare Minimum Mondays.
Oof.
Which
round of applause.
I feel like on this show we've been doing
that
for weeks.
Not a new concept.
Not a new concept.
In the world of Cliffo and Bronte.
But this has been solidified by Caitlin Winter. She has it in her workplace. She works in Adelaide, so Leash probably knows her. And what it is the concept that it gives staff the option to work from home on those Mondays, but also only expects them to do the least amount of work required for their job.
God.
And she's the boss. She's the marketing manager of this firm.
Yeah.
And so she said she just wants her staff to take Mondays, quote, at their own pace. They don't have any meetings, they don't have any catch-ups, and they don't have any strict deadlines.
What a time to be alive. Could you imagine, like, 100 years ago, and you're rocking up to work. Could you imagine any boss at the, I think of it as a factory back then?
Yeah, they probably all had the Spanish flu. They're like, keep working.
Get the whips, guys. Keep these stuff working. The Queensland story that you're going to see on the project tonight, they've already got the woman lined up for sunrise.
Yeah.
This is perfect daytime TV fodder. It surrounds a 43-year-old Brisbane woman named Rachel who had to go to hospital on the weekend. She thought she had gallstones in the gallbladder.
Right.
Very painful.
Oh, I've never had them, but they don't sound... Anything that's stoned in your body doesn't sound very nice.
Mum had to have them removed when I was a kid and brought them home in the little clear thing with the yellow lid.
Cool.
And we shook them around. So gross. But very painful in the body. Oh. That's what Rachel thought was going on. She didn't leave with the gallstones in the little clear jar with the yellow lid.
No.
She instead left with a newborn baby.
With a whole baby.
You see, Rachel was pregnant and she didn't know it.
I was told I would never be able to fall pregnant from 19. I was told that. So it was never even contemplated. The nurse said, "You're pregnant." And I told her that it's wrong. No clue. He didn't kick. Like, because that's what people say. Didn't you feel him moving? No.
So she was in labour.
Yeah, she was in labour. She's in labour. That was not the galls. Like, wasn't gallstones. Wasn't the gallbladder. She was actually in labour. That's what was causing the pain.
Oh, my goodness.
It's more prevalent than you think. 1 in 2,500 mums have a surprise birth.
Mm.
Most put the added weight and missed periods down to stress.
Right, which is pretty normal.
Yeah, so that's one way to explain that. But it did get me thinking, like, wow, what an intense situation. Like, you go in for what you think is already like a bit of surgery and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably minor when it comes to the surgeries.
But still scary to go to hospital thinking like, oh, they're going to have to do tests and like get to school. Like, if she's Googled it and decided, I think it's gallstones.
Yeah.
You kind of accept that that's what you're going to deal with.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, though, still like a minor thing on the scale of compared to having a child that you're going to have to raise for. Because her family then had to like scramble.
They didn't have anything.
They've got kids. So they have nothing.
Oh,
so a family
had
scrambled.
Goodness.
But, it, you know, 13, 10, 60. What I'm getting at is, when did a minor medical thing become something major?
Yes.
So you've gone into hospital to get like a stitch on the cut on your hand and the doctor's like, we're going to have to amputate. That little finger's got to go.
No. Is that the story of your missing little finger?
That's how it,
I always wondered what happened
there. No, one, I was just born that way. One's a little shorter than the other. Or like another thing I thought of was maybe you thought you had the common cold.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Then you get tested or whatever and you have pneumonia.
Yes.
Or swine flu.
That's what happened to me. When I was 16, I came back from overseas in 2009, had what I thought was just the flu. Went to the doctor. He's like, you've got swine flu.
Yeah.
So I'm a medical marvel, guys.
Better than those other things you got on those overseas trips.
Not at 16.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Or Germany.
13, 10, 60 if you relate. Like, this has happened to you or someone, you know, in your circle. When did like a minor medical thing, you go in for like a minor medical thing, neck minute, like you're on the operating table.
Maybe there's a baby one as well.
Maybe there's a baby one. Rachel on 13, 10, 60. When did a minor medical thing become like a major thing?
Well, 2017, I had a really sore tailbone for like 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't work out what was wrong. Doctor Googled it all myself. And I thought, oh, you know, I've just fallen down like my mum kept telling me.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor 2.5 weeks later and they had a look and they're like, oh, no, you've got a cyst that's growing inward. So I was off to the emergency department and in theatre within 2 hours.
Wow.
Within 2 hours?
How big was this cyst?
I was about 12 by 7 centimetres.
Oh, my God, man.
What?
I mean, and that's the kind of thing too, though. Like, if you were sore on the tailbone, like above your butt, you'd just be like, oh, I sit too long.
Yeah.
Or, like, you would play that down, like, Rachel.
I couldn't sit. I couldn't sleep.
Oh.
And then, when they said that, oh, no, like, because I hadn't gone to the toilet for 2.5 weeks.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, okay, like, you know, this is serious.
Yeah, the toilet thing might actually prompt me.
Yeah.
Take a bit of action.
Yes, fair enough.
Rosalie's here. What minor medical thing turned out to be pretty major?
For my girlfriend, she went to hospital thinking she had appendicitis and come out with a baby.
Oh, go on!
Yeah, that was many years ago now. She's in her 70s.
Wow.
So just no idea at all that she had been pregnant.
And she was playing tennis and my mother said to her, "You're getting a bit fat." She says, "Yeah."
Brutal.
And, and she played tennis and, yeah, she thought she had appendicitis and, yeah.
Got from a burst appendix to a burst bank account for the next 18 years. Chrissy's here. Chrissy, what minor medical thing turned out to be pretty major?
Good morning. And it was my mum. She went into hospital to get a hernia removed. Mm. And she woke up in the morning still complaining of pain. So they flew her down to Brisbane and did an angiogram on her. And she ended up having 95% of her arteries blocked. So they had to give her a triple bypass, an emergency triple bypass, which saved her life.
From a hernia to a triple bypass.
That is.
So we take her for a walk, and she'd be complaining of pain, and not realizing then it wasn't the hernia; it was actually her heart was failing her.
Oh my God! Just go to the doctor, everyone.
Next time,
wake up, got a bit of a sniffle, go to the doctor. Alpha Bucks back tomorrow, Tuesday, the 30th of May. Is tomorrow the last day?
Oh my God! No, 30 May days has September, April, June, and November.
One Wednesday. So, first day of winter on Thursday. Anyway, enough weather chat. Alpha Bucks, look, back tomorrow morning.
I'm going to be a little hard on the listeners right now. Mm. This is the third day in a row, or second day in a row, where the clue that we're about to give you was the answer that the contestant didn't know.
Yeah, I mean...
You're throwing away $1,000.
You're speaking to the wrong audience, because the people listening to this now have done their homework and are going to have the clue.
Well, you've got to try harder to get through.
So communicate this to your naughty friends that aren't listening to the clue.
So, as you know, you're here for the clue, and that is Rock of Ages.
Must be name a musical.
Must be. That is one you're going to want to know.
Yeah. Rock of Ages. So R is your letter. Rock of Ages is your free clue for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on hit.
I didn't hear anything you just said.
No.
Like, I didn't hear anything.
There's a smell in here. It's not good. Petri dishes have been opened.
Yes, I was going to say, don't talk about Dr. Jeff like that. Dr. Jeff Warner from JCU is back in studio, and we can confirm not in full PPE, which makes us feel a little bit happy. You have asked for an abundance of hand sanitizer, though. Should we take that personally?
And we should have a shower when we leave today.
Okay.
Probably true.
So it was 1 week ago, Dr. Jeff came in with his swabs and his Petri dishes, and he swabbed our microphones, mobile phones,
water bottles, and
keyboards.
Because this all started from our lovely producer, Alicia, bringing us a drink bottle that we thought was full of black mold.
I was going to say lovely in quotation marks there, because we're about to find out just how lovely I am. but yeah, it was my water bottle that got left in the car
started
for...
started it all.
God knows how long, and took a big swig of mold out of it, so that was fun.
We think.
You know?
Before your visit is out, Jeff, we're going to find out who is the cleanest member of the team, who is the filthiest, who is Malcolm in the middle.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, any major takeaways from the experiment?
Yes. So we looked at just general what's called heterotrophic bacteria. That is bacteria that just live everywhere.
Okay.
Right? That actually use like carbon as energy, which is just like organic stuff, right?
Sure.
Around the place, right? So the big take-home message is there are germs everywhere, all over, right, what you touch and what you breathe into. There's no doubt about that, right? Are we talking about who's dirty or clean yet? No,
let's hold off on that.
So
as long as
possible.
Why
did you look at me, though, when you said that?
I can't remember whose hand I shook on the way in. But
Are there any lowlights? Because I know there was a few. You said, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but there was a few that we couldn't help but open, and there was quite a noticeable odour to some of the plates.
We're not allowed to open them, right? So, but you can sort of smell them a little bit from the thing. Yeah, so it's the water bottles which are the most interesting.
Okay.
Right? There's no doubt about it, right?
No, let's talk about that.
Because we swabbed on the outside of the water bottle, but also on the inside of the lid, right?
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a thing these days, right, that a lot of people use reusable water bottles, right, to put water in.
Yeah.
The question, of course, is that how often do you clean them, right? Because, when Alicia fish and maybe could see some black stuff, that's fine.
Yeah.
But microbiology is a study of things that you can't see.
Right.
Right. So that's what culturing was able to reveal. And I can reveal there's some very, very interesting things in some of your water bottles. Particularly.
Yep.
Should I say it?
Yeah.
Particularly Cliffos. And I guess we're just wondering.
Was it alcohol? Because there will be after today, probably.
Well, I was going to say, I think rinsing it with alcohol now, I think, is probably a
good
idea.
What was in there?
We found a germ called Pseudomonas inside the lid of Cliffo's bottle, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, this is a germ that, particularly if you're at the risk of getting a little too serious, if you're immunocompromised or you've got some other sort of, you know, problem, it actually can cause very serious infection. And indeed, in hospitals, right, this Pseudomonas has been found to colonise sort of water bottles. And that's been a problem, of course, because people in hospitals can be quite sick. And when they get infected by this, it can be very bad. So Cliffo's now actually sucking on his pencil. I just saw it.
It's a nervous tick, Jeff.
So there could be a bit of correlation there, actually.
Okay, so...
Oh, my God, I'm disgusting. Do we even need to do the results?
Should Cliffo throw out that water bottle?
No, it can be cleaned. Okay. So I think the question is, you know, with water bottles, is how often do we clean them, right, like I say, and what should we clean them with? Soapy water every now and then is a really good idea. And I'm just wondering, I don't want to put you guys, you know, on the spot, but I'm just wondering how often you clean your water bottles.
This one I have never cleaned. It's only 2 months old, though. Yeah, so how's mine looking?
Yeah. So, Bronte, yours is not looking great.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah, that's gross.
All sorts of horrible things. You don't have the germ that Cliffo's got.
Okay, right? Great.
So that is a good thing.
And what about leashes? What we thought was black mold.
Because I was at a disadvantage here. I got my what we knew was a moldy water bottle tested.
So that's right. So leashes were interesting because we swabbed it and there was some black stuff that came off on the swab when we put it on the plate. And we thought it might be a mold, which is a fungus. But, you know, to be honest, the fungus might be there, but it was completely out-competed with germs of what, like students at work will know, gram-negative organisms, which potentially could be the fecal coliform.
I
don't know what, like... I don't know what you people do with your with your water bottles, but it's not looking brilliant. But Bronte's is by far the cleanest.
What's the newest as well?
I'll take it.
I might have the hospital germ, but at least I don't have the poo water bottle.
Jeff, we've
got to go to break here. When we come back, we will have the definitive ranking: 3, 2, 1. Who is the cleanest? Who is the filthiest? I think we're all losers this morning here on Hit Breakfast with Cliffo and Bronte.
Hopefully there are still some people listening to the show. Wouldn't blame you if after the last segment you switched off.
Probably needed a warning. Don't eat your Wheaties. Don't have your breakfast while listening to this morning's show.
Dr. Jeff Warner from JCU is back in studio with our... Are they petri dishes? Is that what we're calling them?
So the petri dishes is the stuff that the agar's in. So we'll call them agar plates. But Dr. Petri created the plastic dish.
And we've already gone through the results.
No thanks to that guy. The way he's making us look this morning.
It was actually a girl.
Cliffo!
What a sexist.
We've gone through the results of our drink bottles, discovering... do you guys want to talk about what was discovered in each of yours? Because I'm off the hook.
Leash had the fecal matter.
Which we have to revisit that.
But I had the... What was mine called, Jeff?
It was Pseudomonas.
Yeah, the hospital germ.
Yeah.
Just looking at the plates, they are filthy.
Yes.
What was the other highlights? Was there a particularly nasty mobile phone or keyboard or what else? We did microphones.
Well, generally speaking, nothing nasty came out of all of your other things. Right? But there was a difference in terms of numbers.
Okay.
And I think we said last week that the numbers of germs, right, determine whether things have been cleaned or not.
Right.
And the numbers of germs, particularly if you're touching things, right, commonly, which we are with the phones, keyboards and microphones, tell us how clean we are.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go through each category. And you can just tell us who's the dirtiest.
Right, so phone first. The cleanest by a fair stretch was Alicia.
Congratulations, Leish.
Coming in a close second was Bronte.
Oh, close second, I'll take it.
But the absolute winner or loser, depending on how we think about it, was Cliffo, unfortunately.
All right. We're going to have to speed through these, guys, because number one, I'm not looking good, but number two, we are running out of time.
So, microphones?
The
same trend.
Same trend.
The same trend. Alicia, the cleanest. Bronte, second. Cliffo, the worst.
And
likewise with microphones, Cliffo was a huge winner, with the by far the most germs on his
microphone. So everyone who voted for me, eat it.
Oh, my. Eat your dirty water.
Do we even need to run through it? So who was the cleanest overall?
Cleanest overall, except for the drink bottle, was Alicia.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's not how the people voted.
Right.
Well done, Lee.
Yeah.
And I guess the loser is, and so we've got it just on record. I can't believe
you're doing this.
Throwing to this. But who, Dr. Jeff Warner, microbiologist from JCU, is the filthiest member of the Cliffo and Bronte team?
Cliffo.
He didn't shake your hand, but he came in the first time. Won't do it the
Do you know
the
most
time.
Awful thing about this whole thing?
It was your idea.
It was my idea.
Yeah. Last one you'll ever have.
Well, I'm off to bathe. Dr. Jeff, thank you for your time. And Leish will take photos and videos and stuff and we'll whack it all up on our socials.
Yeah.
So you can bathe in the disgust.
Congratulations, Leish.
That is your old
thank
mate.
Thank you.
Cliffo.
I proved everybody wrong.
Yeah, congratulations, Leish. I'm real happy for you.
Can you beat Bronte?
Need to ask you something.
$250. You've got over the $200 hurdle, which you often
it's my downfall.
At.
Yeah, I'm here
so,
though.
$250. Kim's here too. Kim has just moved back to Queensland in WA for 9 years. Kim,
that's correct.
Oh, on your own accord, or were you held hostage there for 9 years?
Yeah, something like that.
God, well, wasn't WA a fortress during COVID?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
WA just
it
hated
was.
Everyone, mate.
Did you, as someone who I imagine has family and things back here, how did that feel being in WA so locked down?
It was hard, but it was okay. Yeah, I had work, so
busy.
We all got to go to work every day over there.
True, and that's a good thing.
And it depends on if you like your family or not, too, Bronte.
You like your family?
I like my family.
We got back in. That's clear. Bronte is into the soundproof booth, and for you, Kim, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, mate. You good to go?
Yep, all good.
All right, time starts now. What continent is Bulgaria in?
Europe.
How many faces does a dodecahedron have?
7.
Traditionally, what meat is used in a shepherd's pie?
Beef.
True or false, lightning is hotter than the sun?
False.
Pink Ladies and Granny Smiths are both types of what?
Apple.
Hey, that's 5. I could tell there was some confidence with some there, Kim, and I don't know, a bit of hesitation with others.
I know.
It's all right. We'll see how she goes. I thought they were a good level for a Monday morning, Kim.
That was fast. That was a fast 30.
Yeah.
It went quick.
It was five. We didn't quite use up the whole 30 seconds.
I didn't even get to watch one news bulletin, is what I usually do.
Really?
Yeah. Quick.
God, you're actually doing something
I'm
productive
trying to get
in there.
As much info quickly into my brain as I can.
I just always think of the soundproof booth as this like vacuum.
Fortress.
This void.
It's like the WA of Australia.
Yeah, right.
Right.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock. Langers.
Yep.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Time starts now. What continent is Bulgaria in?
Europe.
How many faces does a dodecahedron have?
10.
Traditionally, what meat is used in a shepherd's pie?
Ooh. Beef.
True or false, lightning is hotter than the sun?
False.
Pink Ladies and Granny Smiths are both types of what?
Apples.
Who needs 30 seconds,
you
two?
Okay.
Huh?
Oh, it was quick.
Both of you. But how did we go, Leash? Was Speedy effective this morning or not?
Yeah, so Bulgaria is in Europe. Both of you got that one correct. Dodecahedron has 12 faces. Oh. Neither of you got that one correct.
Tough.
Shepherd's pie uses lamb. Both of you said beef, which is used in cottage pie.
I see. I'm not a pie person.
My parents got that into me by saying, you know, that the shepherd has lambs. Anyway.
Biblical.
Yeah. True, lightning is hotter than the sun. Neither of you got that one correct.
What?
Yeah, crazy. It's about 5 times hotter than the sun. I had to double-check that fact this morning, but yeah.
You know what's hotter than that, guys?
No, don't.
Me doing the quick change into my board shorts.
Get that on the listener app.
We're talking about it
later
this morning.
Later.
Get that on the listener app.
And both of you said apple for Pink Ladies and Granny Smith, which was correct, which means you both have 2 points.
Oh, my goodness.
Tiebreaker Monday. Okay, so tiebreaker. Buzz in if you know the answer, guys. If you're correct, you win for the day. If you are wrong, automatically you are disqualified. You're out. In that case, you'll take home the cash if Bronte gets it wrong. Kim and...
what do I do?
Yeah, we know how it works. I need to break down every possible scenario. Okay. Yeah, you ready to go, guys?
I'm ready.
Sure. Buzz in with your name if you know the answer. Here we go. In the fairy tale Cinderella, what animal gets turned into horses?
Bronte. Mice?
That is correct.
Oh! Damn it.
They turn mice into horses. Kim!
I was going to say chickens, so.
Chicken horses.
You just ride the chicken to the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, Kim. Worthy competitor. Thank you.
Bloody good run for a Monday, Kim. Call us back anytime, my friends.
Thank you.
Hate to excite everyone so early, particularly the people out there who are attracted to blokes, to the men. But there may be a nudie tape of me.
What's happened?
This good news story actually starts in a pretty dark place, but last week our neighbours got broken into.
Oh, that's not sexy.
How good's youth crime in Queensland?
Oh, God, it's terrible.
And it was pretty bad, and it rattled my wife a bit. And for a while she's been talking about getting those motion detection cameras at the front door and the back door. Relatively inexpensive these days.
Mm. Isn't that sad? Because people need them so
much. That's right. There's a real market, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you just rig them up. They actually look pretty cool. They look like iPhone accessories or something. They're like this shiny white color.
Okay.
And one front door, back door hooks up to the internet, and then you can get like alerts and stuff when people are at your door at nighttime or whatever. But the thing is, because they're new, my wife's just been playing with them a little bit. And one, like I say, points at the front door.
Yes.
And then one points, it's sort of a wider angle that takes in our whole back patio, which also happens to be the place.
Oh, no.
Where I do a quick change every day into my boardies before jumping into the pool. And yes, I still swim in winter because I love that ice bath.
I was going to say, it's good for you.
Yeah. I'm still swimming every day. And the kids are like at the,
well, no wonder
the fence, like, we want to come in. I'm like, no, you do not.
No wonder you're not getting broken into.
What do you mean?
They'll just come around and see a naked guy in the backyard. And
yeah,
they're like,
well, maybe.
Next house.
I mean, generally, I am putting the the board shorts on before I hop into the pool. But the way that we've faced the camera, it literally points right the way that I face away from the houses at the back and all that sort of stuff. Like the front of me literally points right at the camera.
Oh, my God.
And it was last night I said to my wife, like, if you wanted to, like, you could really, if anything ever happened between us, you could get all this footage and really, you know, do something with
it. Expose you.
And that's when, like, Brutal Mish came out to play because she's like, darling, let's be honest. In order to profit from pornography, there needs to be a market for it.
Oh, Mish. The more I scroll on TikTok, the more I realize that I've never had an original thought or experience in my life. It's just,
it's bad for that.
One of those platforms that people make these videos that go viral, and you realize that we've all lived a pretty similar life.
It's why it's stupid that Ed Sheeran keeps getting sued for
yeah,
like Guys, go on TikTok. Everything's been done.
It has.
Nothing is new.
Turns out a lot of people had pretty similar childhood experiences. I think people, us millennials, are reminiscing a lot about like the childhood that we had. And something popped up on my For You page on TikTok that I didn't think was a universal experience, but it turns out it was. A person was reviewing the idea that their parents told them they weren't allowed to drive with the back rear light on at nighttime because their parents told the kids it was illegal to drive with the light on. And that is something that John Paul Langbrook and Stacey Langbrook instilled in us as kids.
I don't know what it is about that little back light in the back of the car.
Yeah.
When you are a child, like, I don't know why it is exciting because I remember being a child.
Yeah.
I remember in the very, very few instances that it was on. Wow.
Yes.
Like the lights on.
The lights on. Mum and Dad haven't noticed.
And now that I am a father, I will often be driving and the kids will often ask the question, you know, can the light go on?
So weird.
No.
It's so weird.
Because it's illegal?
It's illegal.
Did John Paul just make that up because it's easy?
Yeah. Well,
it's illegal.
That must be. And as the driver now, you know it is annoying to have that light on the back. It's hard to explain that to a kid. So he would have just told me the lie. It's illegal to have the light on. And so 131060, if you're a parent, open up. What lies have you told your kids? When was it easier to just lie than tell them the truth?
Or, shoe on the other foot, what lie were you told?
Yes.
And how old were you? Like Bronte, 30 years old.
Yeah.
When she found out it was a lie.
I just couldn't believe it.
Not, this is not mine, but shout out to a mate of mine, Marty, who always used to tell the story that his dad, like this one I actually think is awful. His dad used to tell him if Mr. Whippy was playing music, it meant he was out of ice cream. I reckon that is low. Do you think that's awful?
So the dad told the son,
yeah,
if the ice cream band is playing a song, that means no more ice cream.
Sorry, they don't have ice cream today. So Marty went through to the age of about like 16, 17 till he found out. And he's like, man, that ice cream's, the truck's never got ice cream. Shocking. I need to order more in. Nathan's got one on 131060. Nathan, what lie have you told your kids?
So far, I've told my eldest two that the tongs won't work if you don't click them twice.
Ah, the test clicks.
That's a harmless
Nathan,
one.
You got to do the test clicks, mate.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of an overkill.
It's a harmless one.
That's harmless.
But I like it. Nevaeh, is here? Nevaeh.
Yep.
What lie have you told your kids?
I got told by my mum that we couldn't go to the park because it was closed.
Oh, I've told that lie.
That what? Why? Just because it's
they didn't want to go out to the park.
Right. Park's closed.
My little sister and I would be begging our mum and dad, "Can you take us to the park, please? Can you take us to the park?" And mum would look at dad, and they'd both say, "No, it's shut."
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Pulled that lie recently with my 4-year-old son. My 9-year-old's clued on, but the 4-year-old, none the wiser. Shona's here. Shona, what lie have you told your kids?
Hi, I told my daughter that when she was born, when she was old enough to ask me where she came from, I told her that a taxi had dropped her off.
It's safe.
That's
cost you a bit of money, I'm sure, in both ways.
You driving past cab rank, she's like, was it that one? Rosie's here. Rosie, what lies have you told your kids?
Lots, but this time I was the victim.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So my dad, when I was younger, you know the button that you suppressed where in the automatic cars to change the gears?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like you press, push the button in to move
down. On the gear stick.
Yeah.
My dad told me that if I pressed that button, the car would blow up.
All right,
I mean,
don't press the button.
He's not wrong. If you press the
wrong
button.
I was never tempted.
You weren't?
If you're driving 120 k's down the highway and you start changing gears, who knows?
I don't think it's a lie.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.